This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Obama is back in Asia. In fact, he's in Beijing at the moment for the APEC summit. He will also be going to Myanmar for the East Asia Security Summit in Naypyidaw, which is the new capital of Myanmar, and then on to Australia for the G20 at a summit in Brisbane. Now, you know, commentators saying that coming off the drubbing that he and the Democrats got following the congressional elections, they lost Congress to the Republicans, that basically Obama's not going to be able to move on the domestic front. And where he can move and where there is probably some convergence of interest between the Republicans and the Democrats is on foreign policy, so that he should become, as Farid Zakaria puts it, a foreign policy president. Now, this is his very recent move since the elections, and he's coming to Asia. He's already been to Myanmar before. He was here 2 years ago. Now, what is expected of Obama in this particular trip? Well, he's expected to kickstart his rebalance of the pivot to Asia policy and reiterate his commitment to the region. Just to give you a sense and put this in perspective, 2 years ago, Obama spoke in Thailand about his pivot to Asia. He was with the then Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawatra, and this is what he had to say.
As you indicated, Asia is my first foreign trip since our election in the United States, and Thailand is my first stop, and this is no accident. As I've said many times, the United States is and always will be a Pacific nation. As the fastest growing region in the world, the Asia Pacific will shape so much of our security and prosperity in the century ahead, and it is critical to creating jobs and opportunity for the American people. And that's why I've made restoring American engagement in this region a top priority as president. And the cornerstone of our strategy is our strong and enduring treaty alliances, which includes our alliance with Thailand. Thailand is America's oldest friend in Asia. Next year will mark 180 years of diplomatic relations. We've been treaty allies, committed to our common defense for nearly 60 years. Our men and women in uniform have stood together, and they've bled together. Our business people and our entrepreneurs work together to create jobs for both of our peoples. Our diplomats, development experts, researchers, and student partners every day work together so that our citizens and the people across this region can live in peace and security and dignity. Most recently, the people of Thailand have worked to restore and strengthen your own democracy, and we are very admiring of the efforts that have been made. And today, I'm proud to stand beside the democratically elected leader of Thailand and to reaffirm the importance of upholding democracy, governance, rule of law, and universal human rights, all of which I know, Madam Prime Minister, that you believe in very deeply.
Well, much has changed since that speech. Yingluck was deposed and a military junta now rules Thailand. And it's not clear where the king stands, a man who is aging rapidly, on the question of democratic reform in that country. But not all is dim in Southeast Asia. President Obama met with President Joko Widodo. He greeted the U.S. president at the APEC summit in Beijing on Monday. They had an exchange in which President Obama spoke about Indonesia as an important country in this region.
Well, it is a pleasure to meet President Widodo. I want to congratulate him on an inspiring election. And as many of you know, I have a very close association with Indonesia, having spent a good deal of my childhood there. I think that in watching President Widodo's election, it is once again an affirmation of the full transition that Indonesia has made to a thriving democracy and a model for the kind of tolerance and pluralism that we want to see all around the world. I know that President Widodo has a very ambitious reform agenda, and my main message here today is the United States wants to be a strong partner with Indonesia in helping achieve its goals. As part of our comprehensive partnership, we've already worked on a wide range of issues: economic development, security, people-to-people exchanges, environmental cooperation, and I look forward to discussing how we can build on that momentum, perhaps even with a visit by President Widodo in Washington next year. I also want to thank Indonesia for the leadership regionally as well as internationally that has shown on a number of issues. As a leader in ASEAN, Indonesia has been a driving force around the work that we've done on disaster assistance, on education, on scientific and technical exchanges, as well as issues of maritime security. And both our countries agreed that it's important for us to maintain international norms that ensure freedom of navigation and that all countries are treated fairly and equitably. And finally, as one of the world's largest democracies and also one of the world's largest Islamic populations, Indonesia has played an extraordinary role in promoting pluralism and respect for religious diversity. And I want to thank Indonesia in the work that it's done to isolate extremism and to work with other countries around counterterrorism efforts. So, Mr. President, I very much appreciate the opportunity to meet with you. I hope that we can develop not only a strong personal friendship, but continue to build the strong friendship between our two peoples.
Now, Obama is expected in Yangon this week, and ahead of his trip, he spoke to President Thein Sein of Myanmar and talked about the question of constitutional reform and the treatment of Muslims. In a summary of his statement, he said, "We understand this is hard to address, but if you do not take steps towards alleviating the humanitarian situation, this is going to have a profound effect on Burma's standing and the perceptions of its progress." He, of course, was referring to the 100,000 Rohingya Muslims from Arakan State who have been displaced, and of course now the calls by the government of Myanmar to redesignate them as Bengali and all that is implied in that. National Security Advisor Susan Rice has also made a statement. The United States, she says, recognizes the progress that Burma has made but notes that real challenges remain and missteps have been made in the course of this transition. Now there have been progressive Buddhist voices in the U.S. in particular urging Obama to speak on the Rohingya problem and address it when he gets there. He also spoke to Aung San Suu Kyi on the question of the credibility of the upcoming 2015 elections. We don't know exactly what he's going to say, so we'll have to wait for that, and we have some commentators waiting in the wings to assess Obama's trip to Myanmar when it concludes. Moving on from Yangon, Obama will be expected in Brisbane for the G20 summit. And of course, like all cities with these big summits and with international attention, a lot of local issues have come up. And we have a little clip from an Australian television station talking about the potential protests that are going to happen in Brisbane.
First tonight to the event that stops a city. The G20 is just 2 weeks away and nerves are building. The world's top leaders will be in town discussing issues that will affect everyone, but those not invited want a say too. So how will police and protesters negotiate the delicate balance between civil rights and civil disobedience? Cathy McLeish has been speaking with both sides.
Every week, the Brisbane Aboriginal Sovereign Embassy lights a fire here on Jagera land.
The fire is a very sacred symbol to Aboriginal people.
It's a small gathering now, but in less than a fortnight, busloads of Indigenous people will join them to take part in a series of meetings.
You know, like when we look at, you know, what we face as Aboriginal people in this country, you know, whether it's over-incarceration, you know, a high death incarcerity rate, on any other given day, you know, we seem not to be heard. You know, with the world leaders and the world media coming, you know, this gives us, you know, the chance, you know, to get our message out.
We're happy to sign written agreements.
Tony Clark is a Queensland Police negotiator, one of a team who will talk to protesters throughout G20.
And we've basically given that 3 hours. It won't take that long, but we want to make sure we've well and truly got that time.
So the march is supposed to start at 9:30?
Yeah.
We don't want to see those scenes. This is Brisbane, this is not another city. We want peaceful, respectful protest where everyone gets to have their say.
So that was the voice of Australian police officer trying to make sense of how he's going to shape things in the city, which he has control over the security issues, but also in a country that is committed to democracy. So that's a challenge for Australia there. Now, we wait to see when Obama leaves Asia. The question is, will he have, in fact, rebalanced his position? Would he have made the kind of commitment that the region would like to see? We wait in anticipation for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.